If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 16. We're going to begin reading this morning in verse number 22. And I just want to share something with you this morning. God's going to turn it around. God is going to turn it around. Boy, ain't you thankful for that? That God is going to turn it around. I thank Brother Roy and Sister Keela for the children's church this morning. Heard a story about letting your little light shine, letting your light shine. Said there was a man, he was over the lighthouse and it burnt with oil years ago. And every beginning of the month, they'd bring him enough oil to run that light all month long. And at the end of the month, they'd bring him more oil. At the end of the month, they'd bring him more oil. At the beginning of that month, a widow woman come to him and said, I need a little oil. And he said, well, what will it hurt for me to give her a little oil? That's a good cause. So he took a little of his oil and gave it to her, and she went home and took care of her family. Then a man come and said that I have children that are in need and they're going to be cold and I need a little of your oil. And he thought, well, that's a good need. So what is that going to hurt? I'll give a little bit of my oil to them and gave a little oil away. Well, as the month rocked on and it got down with about 6 days left in that month, he realized as the lighthouse was not going to be able to burn, and for 6 days it didn't burn, and a lot of boats wrecked and crashed and died. And as he went before the court system and they had him there, they come to find out that he had gave away something that he didn't need to give away that was very dear and very crucial in the life that they lived in. And they said, you had one thing to do, and that's to keep your light burning. Can I say there's a lot of things pulling against you trying to not let your little light burn? If I can give you anything, don't give your light away to this dark world. Amen? You keep your light burning because God is going to turn it around. Amen? Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 22. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them, this being Paul and Silas, because they had cast out a demonic spirit out of the soothsayer, and they got mad. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They didn't pout, but they prayed. Amen? And they sang. They didn't sigh, but they sang. And the praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, Brother J.D., all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of the sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what a question. Oh, God's going to turn it around. God's going to turn it around. Look what he says. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, I thank you that you've turned it around in my life, Father. I thank you that you are the God that turns things around. Father, when you step in, you don't leave them where you found them, Father. You don't leave them where man would have to leave them, but you can turn them around. Lord, I pray this morning, whoever's walked into this local body church, I pray and they need to turn around. I let them know this morning by the power of Jesus Christ that they're in the right place. Hey, you can turn it around this morning, Father. Lord, I thank you this morning that you're the God of all gods. I thank you that you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I thank you that you're high and lifted up. I pray this morning, Father, you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let the people understand this morning, thus saith the word of God. Lord, let it go clearly, let it go correctly, and let it go straight to our hearts this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary, and I thank you this morning that no matter how much we're bound up, you can turn it around. Father, I love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. You may be seated this morning. As we come this morning, I want to lead you up to this. In verse number 22, hey, it rose up against them and beat them there and laid stripes on them. And as we come here, there was some things going on in Paul and Silas's life. They were singing praises to God even when everything seemed to be going wrong. Everything seemed to be going the wrong way. They were still singing praises and praising God for what He had done. But I want you to know this morning, it was the jailer that was bound. Even though he had turned Paul and Silas in, and the Bible says that he had put them in the stocks, and in the stocks would be a very uncomfortable position. They had brought them in and they had chained them down, and they had put them in stocks where they couldn't get out, and they were bound down and stricken down there for many days. But I want you to know, as they were bound down there and they come into this place, they were not the ones that were really bound down. You could tell by their attitude that they were singing and praising, hey, because of the things of this life, I didn't have them bound down. Hey, but this jailer, he had took an oath, and when he came in, everyone that was under his authority, whatever their punishment was, whatever their guiltiness was, if they escaped and they got away, that jailer would get everything that was supposed to happen to the ones that he let escape. And you say, preacher, what does that mean this morning? Hey, when they got to this place in their life, I want you to know that jailer, he needed something to turn around in his life. The jailer was the one that was bound down, and if any of the prisoners had escaped, the jailer would have that sentence on him. But God is going to turn it around. And you say, preacher, how do we know that this morning? If you'll look with me in verse number 29 and verse number 30, look at the request of the jailer. As we get here, he says, and start with verse 26, and it suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, or the jailer, he awoke out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He knew that their guilty plea would be on him. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And here is his request. Friends, this morning, can I say, hey, when you need God to turn it around, you're going to have to request something of Him. You're going to have to request that God will turn it around. And look what He says. And He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Hey, the ones that He had just beaten, the ones that He had put in stocks, the ones that He had talked about, the ones that He had authority over, now He comes to them and He wants to know, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to get out of the pain that I'm in? What must I do to get out of the turmoil that I'm in?" He, the request of the jailer, you see that he came in terrified, shaking and bowing down. He had came to that place in his life and he requested, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to get out of this?" And this morning, can I say what he did not request? He did not request what to do to be successful at this time in his life. That was not important. He didn't request, "What must I do to be successful?" Can I say he did not request, "What must I do to be wealthy?" He knew that that didn't have nothing to do with what was going on in his life. He did not request what to do to be popular. You know what he said? He said, "What must I do to be saved?" The most important question in any man or woman's life is, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be born again? What must I do to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life?" You say, "Preacher, I've went to church all my life." Good news, you can still go to a devil's hell. Hey, preacher, I've been baptized 75 times. Good news, you can still bust hell wide open. You say, "Preacher, I've taught Sunday school. Preacher, I've been a preacher. Preacher, I've been a deacon. Preacher, I've been in the choir. Preacher, I've done all this." Good news, you can still go to hell. He said, "What was the request?" He said, "What must I do to be saved?" He had come to a place in his life that he was broken and bent, and he needed help. And when he came before him, you said, "Preacher, how How long are you going to preach on people need to be saved until I die and go home? Can I get an amen? There's a lost and dying world that's going to hell, and they need to know what they must do to be saved. Amen. Oh, he said, he requested of the jailer. He said, what must I do to be saved? The most important question that has ever been asked in the world. And the sad thing is, you know, when we get in trouble and we don't know where to go and we understand that we're lost, a lot of people will lead us in the wrong direction. You ever been lost and been out on the highway and you go by somebody's house and you say, I'm lost and I need directions, and they say, go right up there, and you're going to hang a right and go about 3 miles, and there's going to be an old horse standing on the left side of the road, and if you'll take a left where that horse is standing, it'll lead you in the right direction. Hey, can I say that horse will move? That horse won't stand there. That horse won't always stay there. Hey, but I got good news this morning. The gospel will always stand. It'll always stick. It'll always stay there. Not only was it the request of the jailer, but I want you to get this, the reply of Paul and Silas. How did they reply and what they told him to do? Friends, this morning, when you get in a place and you're stuck, look to God. Amen. He's going to turn it around. Amen. Man, me and my daughter's friend, that's how I reverence Kyler. He gets tickled about that. We go out somewhere and he's with me. I call him my daughter's friend. I don't put that boyfriend in there. Y'all know what? Can I get a witness? We ain't made it there yet. He's just a friend. So me and him got down in the bottom this week, and you're talking about when you get in that place and you request and you need something. We got down in that bottom this weekend. I'm trying to make me a little trail through the creek. And you ever been in a creek bank? I don't know about you, but every creek bank's pretty high, and they're straight up. There's no room to get in. There's no room to get out. So you got to make a way in. You got to make a way out. Friends, can I say this morning, heaven's not crowded. You can make your way in by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can make it in this morning. All you've got to do is call on the Lord, anchor to Him, anchor to that tree, let Him pull you out of the mess that you're in. You said, preacher, I didn't come in to hear this morning. I don't know nothing else to preach but Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. And if you're bound down, come to Jesus. Amen. Don't come to Union Chapel, come to Jesus. You know how many people's joined this church and ain't done a bit of good? It won't do you no good joining this church. But when you join the body of Christ, it's when it'll do you good. So there's a bank down there, and it was overhead high. And I had my side beside me and Kyler, and he said, have you ever been up? We ain't never been up that bank. So I'd back up and I'd get me a run and go, and I'd jump up on top of that bank and it wouldn't go. I'd back down and I'd get a run and go, and I'd jump back up on top of that bank and it wouldn't go. Almost flipping over. Can I get amen? Well, the last time I was going to jump up on that thing, we got hung. And it was doing this number right here. What'd you do, preacher? Ain't nothing you can do but get out and get help. Amen? So I got out. I took the winch. Man, this spoke volumes to me. 19-year-old boy, 18-year-old boy. Boy, spoke volumes to me. I took that winch. When you need help and you're stuck. Are you stuck this morning? When you need help and you're stuck, you can't go nowhere. You're just stuck. God's got to turn it around, or you're going to be right where you're at all the days of your life. I grabbed that winch and I took it up through there, and I didn't look for a sapling. I didn't look for a twig, Brother Eric. I looked for a tree. I looked for a tree that would hold. And I took that up there and I wrapped it around there. And I told him, I said, hit the end button. Why didn't you hit the out button? I didn't want to go out. I wanted to go in. This morning, as your pastor, I don't want you to go out. I want you to come in. I want you to get in with the spout where the glory runs out. I want you to get in before it's eternally too late and you spend your life in a devil's hell. You say, preacher, everything's good. You may think it is, but if you've never been born again, you will die and go to a devil's hell. I said, winch it in. He hit the button. That thing started. And it started, that back end of that thing started, and that was stuck. I said, hit it again, hold it, don't let up now. What happened? Where we were stuck, it pulled us up out of there. And I rode that thing in, it cut into the tree a little bit. And about 2 hours later, we were still riding, and we go up another big old hill. And here's what he said. He said, hey, you know what? I'm thinking, what am I fixing to get? The reply. He said, you know that winch is about like Jesus. And I looked at him and I said, how's that winch about like Jesus? He said, when we're stuck, all we got to do is hook to Him and He'll pull us out. Can I say to you, when we hooked to that tree and we hit that button, it pulled us out. Can I say that when Jesus was nailed to that old rugged cross, to that old tree, and he was beaten for you and I, and he was hung to that old rugged tree, you know what happens when we look to the finished work at the cross of Calvary and we hook our soul to it? Listen to me, not to a Baptist faith, not to a church building, not to a local group, but when we hook our faith to the old rugged cross and we hook to it and we let it pull us and we let it pull us and it pulls us and it pulls us, you know what it'll do? It'll get us out of the mess that we're in, and it'll turn it around before it's eternally too late. Now I see the reply of the jailer. He said, what must I do to be saved? Here's the request. What must I do? And the reply of Paul and Silas. Now here, let me give you what they said. They said, believe. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe. He says, too simple. That's too, believe. If God's going to turn around, you've got to believe it. Let me give you this morning, what he did here. Let me show you this. You've got to believe. Look what he said. We see the request of the jailer, but the reply of Paul and Silas in verse 31 and verse 32. And they said, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He said, preacher, to reply to that, what is being saved? What is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to give you this morning. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you, number one, you acknowledge your sinfulness. When you look to Jesus Christ and you believe with that heart knowledge, not only with head knowledge, but with your heart knowledge, you acknowledge your sinfulness before an almighty God. You repent. To believe is you repent of your sin. You say, I'm going to turn. I'm not going to keep going the same way. I acknowledge my sin. I repent of my sin. And I'm calling on the Lord by faith for his forgiveness and salvation. I love what he said here. You shall be saved. Not that you might be. You shall be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by who? But by Jesus Christ. I see the request of the jailer, and I see the reply of Paul and Silas. He said, is that how you be saved? That's how you were saved then, and that's how you're saved now, by believing on Jesus Christ. God's going to turn it around. Let me give you the third thing here. Not only do we see the request of the jailer and the reply of Paul and Silas, but the rejoicing of the jailer and his family. When you get born again and you get saved, there's a rejoicing that takes place. The Bible says there's angels in heaven that are rejoicing. I've seen families that rejoice over a lost loved one that got born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody gets saved and somebody gets sour, something's wrong. If somebody professes Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and somebody don't like it, something's wrong in their life. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right, let's just move on right here. Let's get going. The rejoicing of the jailer. Let me show you this in verse 33 and 34. He called on the name of the Lord, got born again. Look at the change that was in his heart. Look at the change that was in his heart. Can I ask you a question this morning? Has there been a change in your heart since God turned it around? Been a change. Ain't nobody got to tell you there's been a change. Let me tell you how I know there's a change, and she won't mind me sharing this. This morning, my wife got up. She bathed the baby. She done everything under the sun. I'm talking about cooked breakfast, all that kind of stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The men ain't doing nothing. The women are like, I know. And I requested of her. She looked like she was a little stressed, and I requested. I said, baby, what can I do to make it easier on you? And her reply was, I've done it all now. And my reply was, well, if you would ask, there was no rejoicing going on Mills Hill. Did y'all's life run like that at home? No, y'all got perfect lives. There's no arguments, no, oh man, y'all got it going on. I know you do. No fighting before you come to church. No. So we get in the truck and ain't nobody said a word on County Road 16. Kaylee ain't said nothing. She's done got in this brawl. She ain't got nothing in it. Daddy, we ain't got nothing in this. And you say, preacher, what's this guy doing? Like, listen to me. God's going to turn it around if you will let him. He can't turn it around if you won't let him. There's some things God can't do. He can't lie and he can't save you if you won't open your heart. He won't change the situation you're in if you won't open up and say, Lord God, I want you to turn. He can't. He'll stay there till you die. He can't step in. There's some things he can't do. And we come on down through here and we turned and come in and we poured in the parking lot out here. And when we poured in, they opened the door, going to jump out. And I said, close the door. Used to, we'd have fought it for 2 weeks. No, it ain't worth the fight. I got to fight her and the Holy Ghost too. I just want to be true with you this morning in case you live in a life like that. You're not a failure. You're not a fake. You just live in life. You just live in life. We closed the door on that truck and I said, let's pray. I knew not to ask forgiveness until I'd prayed. I said, Lord, I'm sorry the way I talked to my wife, my daughter this morning, my family. Lord, I'm sorry. He said, preacher, you're weak. No, I ain't weak. No, I ain't weak. I just ain't stubborn-headed as I used to be. I said, Lord, I love you. And I want you to turn this thing around. Won't you do that for us this morning? I know you can. I sure love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, looked at her, I said, baby. And she looked at me like, I said, baby, I'm sorry the way I got a little sideways there. Y'all know what I'm saying? We picking around. Baby, I'm sorry the way I got a little sideways there. And Kaylee, I'm sorry the way Daddy hollered at you. See, I had a request, and here was their reply. Well, we sorry too the way we, huh? You'd be surprised what the nitpicker's doing in here this morning. You'd be surprised who's sitting beside you here this morning that needs it turned around in their life. That listen, they're shackled down by chains and all kind of things, and they need a change in their home. They need a change in their home. But most of all, they need a change in their heart. Let me show you what he says here. There was a change in his home, but there's a change in his heart. Look at this with me, if you will. Here's what he said. And he spake unto the word of the Lord and all that were in his house, and they took the same hour of the night. Now, here's where the change of the heart come. Before he beat them. Before he beat them. And you know what? The Jews, you know what the Jews had? The Jews, 39 save one. But the Romans, they could get beat as many times they wanted to. And they had beat them being Romans, and they get as many stripes. They didn't have to stop at 39. And this man has beat them. They have beat them. But look what he does now when a change of heart, when God turns it around. Look what he does. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. You're talking about rejoicing. The men that he had beat, now he's went to them. And he said, I'm so sorry. Now that I've got Jesus in my life, I'm going to wash up your stripes that I've caused in your life. And was baptized before he ever got baptized, before he ever done anything, he made restoration where he could. He and all his straight way, and when they had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You said, preacher, what does that mean, that rejoicing? Number one, he had a change in heart. He had a change in his house, but he had a confession that was made in his family. How do you know that, preacher? Look with me, if you will. Believing, in verse number 34, believing in God with all his house. You said, preacher, this morning, is God going to turn it around? If you'll let him, he'll turn it around. This man had them bound up in stocks and chains, not to let them out. If they had to use the bathroom, they had to use it on themselves. Flies, bugs, all. They was bound down. They could not move. There was things eating at them, had them eating them alive. But God turned it around. There's things in here this morning that could be eating you alive, and it's been eating you for years on years on years on years, and the only thing's going to turn around will be God. And you say, preacher, am I in the right place? Make sure you listen to the whole matter. Make sure you listen to what God's calling on your life this morning, that you'll be able to turn things around and do it the right way. You say, preacher, how can I do that? Number one, if you'll request, God will reply. And I promise you this morning, you'll leave rejoicing. There's not been a time that I've not requested him that he's not replied to my request. Sometimes in the way that I want it, and sometimes in the way that I don't want it. But he's always answered. And at the end of the day, I want to leave rejoicing. You said, preacher, I don't know if he can turn it around in my life. You don't know where I'm at. I know where he went. He went to an old rugged cross. He bled and died on the old rugged cross that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. There's no need of a Christian person to live in a life that's not full of Jesus Christ. There's no need of living in a life of doubt and fear, because fear is a liar. That man that night, Brother J.D., when they got singing at midnight, he had no clue what was going on. The earthquake had done shook, and he is still asleep. There's some in here this morning, this place could be shaking, and you could still be asleep. But he don't want you to be asleep. He wants you to be awake and alive in the name of Jesus Christ. My prayer to you this morning is this. Do you need God to turn it around? If you do, he can. He can turn it around this morning. You don't have to keep living the same way, doing the same things. He can turn it around. And can I say to you, if he has turned it around in your life, let somebody know it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I thank you that true independence comes when we meet Jesus Christ, when we meet the Son of God. Lord, we meet him as a, oh my goodness, a Savior, Lord, King. Father, somebody here this morning, just as that jailer, wrong answer, they gave him a right answer. Believe on Jesus Christ. Confess. Oh, Lord, this morning, I don't know who you're talking to, but I know this morning that you're in the house. And you're willing and able to turn things around. Father, I pray this morning for the one that thinks it's hopeless that you'll turn it around. That you'll set all things new in their life. And I pray this morning, just as we celebrate the independence that we have here physically, I pray we're more excited about our spiritual independence. Being free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, that's what we should be excited about. To be free. Not bound down with them shackles and chains around us no more. But free in the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, it's time of invitation. I ask you to do the work for whoever's bound down and needs it turned around. Have your will and way in this place this morning. Oh, we're going to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said.